Great, thank you so much. It's a, we all agree, it's a pleasure to be here again this year and to hear about all of the exciting research going on around the country relating to infant language development and the real importance of the environment. This study is not actually in the NICU, but these babies have been in a prospective funded study, and we actually enrolled them in the newborn stage. So I'm going to be sharing with you now some information that we have about the home environment of language of children with hearing loss compared to hearing controls. So children with congenital hearing loss have been shown repeatedly to be at increased risk of language delays and increased challenges in their social behaviors and other behaviors. However, recent studies have shown, Christy Yoshinagi-Tano is here, the first one to actually report that early identified children with congenital hearing loss are known to have significantly improved outcomes compared to children identified late and more similar to hearing children. So the objective of this study was to evaluate the language environment of children with hearing loss and controls at 6 to 7 years of age, and that's the age of the children now in our study, and look at the language, cognition, and behavior of the children with hearing loss compared to hearing controls, and then to look at the effects of the language environment in the home on all of these outcomes. The effects of age of entry to early intervention for children with hearing loss on speech, parent speech, child vocalizations, and conversational terms. So we hypothesized that increased child vocalizations and conversational terms will be associated with better language and cognitive skills and more optimal behaviors. And children with hearing loss who received early intervention by 3 months of age will have more optimal conversational turns and language scores than children enrolled after 3 months. But these are both really early identified groups. So again, this is a prospective study. The children were identified as a result of universal newborn screening in the state of Rhode Island and were born between October 02 and January 05. It consists of children who were screened in either the neonatal intensive care unit or the well baby nursery and diagnosed with hearing loss and hearing controls who passed the newborn hearing screen process. Hearing controls were matched for NICU versus non-NICU status or well baby status and hospital of birth in the state of Rhode Island. They've had longitudinal assessments. We did obtain informed consent, and the 6 to 7 year visit will be presented today. It includes a Lena 16-hour recording, Rinell developmental language scales, Kaufman assessment battery for children, and the child behavior checklist. So just briefly, the Rinell, which we're using at this point in time, is an assessment of 134-item standardized individualized language test. It uses toys and objects and manipulatives to assess verbal comprehension and expressive language. It's acceptable for children between 12 months and just under 7 years of age. There are two separate norm versions, one for use with oral children, one for use of children with motor and communicative disabilities. The Child Behavior Checklist, or CBCL, is also a comprehensive measure of children's behaviors, and it's designed to assess the social competencies and the behavior problems of children. It's by parent report, and norms are based on 700 non-referred children. There are subscores for different categories, and also there are summary scores for internalizing, externalizing, and total behavior problems. The Kaufman Assessment Battery, or KABC2, is used for ages 3 to 18 to measure both verbal and nonverbal cognitive ability. So in our study, we're using the measure to test nonverbal cognitive ability, or the nonverbal index, NVI. Bivariate analysis included chi-square for categorical variables, t-test for continuous variables, and correlation analyses were done to explore relationships between the LENA language variables and child outcomes. So we are still seeing these children in this study, so this is sort of preliminary. Birth weight, you can see there were more extremely low or very low birth weight, less than 1,500 grams in the hearing loss group of 18 children. 22% of the controls were low birth weight. They were matched for gender, for stay in the NICU, 56%. And the children seen so far in our hearing loss group, 39% have unilateral or mild hearing loss, and 61% have moderate to profound hearing loss. This is the age of the mothers at the time of the 6 to 7 year recording. Predominantly white race. Some college, you can see it's pretty high, 76% and 96%. Private health insurance in Rhode Island, also quite high for this group. However, the Hollingshead social environmental status score is 10 points higher for the controls than for the hearing loss group. So these are our outcomes at 6 to 7 years of age. On the Kaufman Nonverbal Index, the hearing loss group, it's 90 compared to 102 for the controls, so it's significantly higher for the controls. When you look at a nonverbal index less than 70, it's only 11% of the children with hearing loss and 3% of the controls. Rinell receptive language, again, is higher for the controls, 99 versus 87. But interestingly, in our cohort of early identified children, the Rinell expressive score was similar for the both groups, 97 and 99. This shows our child behavior checklist. Initially, we had shown some indication for higher subscore for social problems. This is not this missed statistical significance. At 3 to 5, we actually showed more internalizing behavior. This is no longer significant in the smaller cohort today. Externalizing behavior also did not differ. Total behavior problems was 50. The higher score is the more atypical for children with hearing loss, 45 for controls, but it did not reach statistical significance. So Lena, language environment. 18% of the time there was a language component in the hearing loss group and 16% in the controls. Percent TV actually was almost borderline significantly higher in the hearing loss group, but they're both reasonably similar. Percent silence was also lower in the hearing loss group, and average decibels in the home was similar in the two homes. We had thought that the decibel level would be lower in the homes of the children with hearing loss. This is just an example of one of our children. She has a mild bilateral hearing loss and she is amplified, and there's a lot of language going on in this home. So child vocalizations per hour. This was a surprise. There were more vocalizations per hour in the homes of the children with hearing loss compared to controls. And Christy, I don't know what you think, but I'm attributing this to the fact that all of these kids essentially were in very early intervention for a 3-year period, and there's been a tremendous focus in these families on language stimulation. Here is conversational turns per hour for the hearing loss group. It was 49.2, controls 39.4. And as we're continuing to collect this data, we want to see if this continues. Interestingly enough, though, the word count was similar for adult word count for both the hearing loss and control groups, 1239 per hour and 1241 per hour. They're both pretty high. And as you recall, a large percentage of our parents have either partial college or full college education. So as a preliminary, we've been looking at some of the associations between the percent of silence in the home and the percent of language in the home with the expressive language scores. So sometimes we're a little bit more likely to get a significant correlation because the higher sample size in the total cohort, but more percent silence in the environment was associated with a lower Rinell expressive language score, okay? And for the children with hearing loss, the correlation coefficient was 0.44 for a higher percent of language going on in that home and a higher Rinell expressive language score. These were associations between silence and behavior for children with hearing loss. I thought this was interesting also. There's a number of trends here for more social problems, aggression, externalizing behavior and total problems, rule breaking was significant. So the more silence in the home, the more likely there was to be rule breaking behavior. Correlation coefficient of 0.49 is pretty strong. Here we see the relationship between percent silence and rule breaking behavior, here conversational turns, and fewer behavior problems. So also the more conversation going on with the adult, fewer behavior problems. So here's for the hearing children. Also we found increased conversational turns to date are associated with increased verbal comprehension and fewer thought problems on the CBCL. It's fascinating to look at TV. These correlations were not significant in our small n for hearing loss. But in the hearing kids, increased percent TV was associated with pretty good correlation coefficient of increased rule breaking in the top panel. In the lower panel, increased percent TV is associated with increased externalizing or acting out behavior. It was associated with increased number of attention problems and increased thought problems. So it sounds like what they're getting out of TV is not having a good effect on behavior. So what about the effects of age of entry to early intervention? Remember, it's before and after 3 months. Actually, before 3 months did have a higher, but not statistically significant, Kaufman nonverbal index, which is essentially a cognitive index. There were a couple similar rates of children with a low index. Verbal comprehension and expressive language were good in all of these kids, but I think as Christy can affirm, these are really essentially all early identified. However, we really tried to figure this out because in the earlier group, we seemed to have more behavior problems of internalizing, externalizing, and total behavior problems. This is adult words for children with hearing loss in EI, and actually the later identified parents are borderline speaking more. Conversational turns were also more in the later identified, and so this may relate to the fact that we're having more behavior problems in the early identified. Child vocalizations per hour, also see the late identified or higher. So percent language, when we look at early and late identified, was significantly higher, lower in our early identified, and percent silence was higher. Still trying to figure it out. It may be a fluke of just type 1, type 2 error, small sample size there. So summary of our findings. At 6 years of age, the overall language environment was similar for children with hearing loss and controls. Rhino expressive language scores of children with hearing loss were similar, but their verbal comprehension scores were significantly lower than those of hearing children. Children with early identified hearing loss had more vocalizations per hour than children with hearing, and the adult word count did not differ in the households. And as someone said, you have to look within your groups too, because there's such a range of findings. So for the total cohort, increased silence in the home was associated with lower expressive language. For kids with hearing loss, increased language was associated with a trend for increased expressive language scores. Increased silence with decreased expressive language scores. And increased conversational turns with fewer behavior problems. For children with hearing, increased percent time watching TV was associated with a myriad of behavior problems. In contrast, increased conversational turns and child vocalizations were associated with fewer thought problems, and increased conversational turns were also associated with greater verbal comprehension scores. Still trying to figure out the effects of early intervention here. I'm not going to go through all of this because I think essentially they're all early identified. However, we did see that trend for more behavior problems in the very early identified rates. They had the same associations of silence with decreased conversational turns and decreased language. So the association of increased percent silence and decreased rates of conversational turns with increased rates of behavior problems are similar to that of the total cohort. So, again, like everyone else here is going to say, the language environment has powerful effects on both language and behavior of children with hearing and with hearing loss In our study, now at 6 to 7 years of age, and our findings support the concept of ongoing opportunities for educational interventions that will make a real difference in the lives of children. And I think our findings also are showing the really negative effects of TV watching. Thanks.